Ramble.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey, Drive Bud listeners. Before we get the episode started, we are doing a big best of episode. That's a compilation of all your favorite moments from the podcast this year. And so what we're going to need from you is for you to go onto our social media platforms, Twitter, Instagram, and fill out our Google form. I'm just going to say your favorite episode or your favorite part of an episode, a favorite bit, a favorite take from Keith, a favorite rant from Ned, anything and everything is great. So once again, if you love the tripod, you can help us out by going to our social media platforms and filling out the Google form on there to let us know your favorite moments from the podcast in this last year. Thanks so much, and here's the podcast.
Welcome to another episode of The Tripod. You've got all your friends, the Tri Boys. Here's Zach the Smiler Kornfeld.
Hi.
Eugene only whispers Li Yang.
Yes, that's me.
Ned Daddy Fulmer.
Daddy.
And of course, your host. Not really, just me, Keith, and also Miles, everybody's favorite beautiful hero. We learned a lot about his mythos in the Summer of Tri video that came out this week. The Miles Nation is strong and seceding.
Yeah, they're seceding from the union.
Whoa, is that a thing?
Yeah, it's a rift. Yeah,
we're gonna learn from the mistakes of the past, and we're just gonna let you go.
Yeah, I appreciate that.
Yeah, it's an exciting week. You know, it's few weeks till Christmas, a few weeks till Hanukkah. It's going to start. It's starting to and has been snowing in many parts of our beautiful country.
Ooh.
Not here, though.
Off in the distance, though.
Yeah, and the rain here has been quite wet.
You can see the snowy Nardino Mountains. That's my nickname for the San Bernardino Mountains.
Ooh, I like that.
What, the Nardino Mountains? Somehow it sounds offensive.
it's a really bad
well,
name.
It's probably not the best name, but
Nardino. You know,
you make your choices and you live with them.
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's an exciting day. We've got a lot of things to cover. Obviously, TV shows are out, movies are coming out. Star Wars is almost here. That's a week from. Oh, it's a week from today when the podcast listeners are listening to this episode.
Wow!
Of the third trilogy of the nonology.
Whoa!
That is Star Wars, is now the time we should apologize for an incorrect thing in the Star Wars universe?
Yeah, absolutely. So I found out, because people have been emailing us on one of our 7 email accounts, that The Mandalorian does not take place in the past. It takes 5 years after the events of Return of the Jedi.
He's a liar.
I was wrong.
Yeah, which I'm surprised about.
I was wrong. It takes a big man to admit he's wrong. I was wrong.
You are a big man.
I thought it was before the 4, 5, and 6. I thought it was before 1, 2, and 3.
Well, technically, Keith, it's before episode 7, 8.
Yeah, I know. I was wrong.
Wait, you thought Baby Yoda was actual Yoda?
No. I just thought that Mandalorian.
Oh, because you said before 1, 2, 3.
Yeah, I just thought it was supposed to be a grand.
I mean, you can't fault him for thinking it was a long, long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Sure. Yeah. I'm surprised it's not Yoda. I'll say it, and I'll be the man enough to say that I thought it was Yoda.
No, but then it'd have to be like a reincarnation of him.
Well, no, I thought it took place like 800 years before
maybe
every event.
It is. They're and on. That's why his armor is so shiny, because he's also Boba Fett. It all makes sense now.
I think that's a totally logical.
Right? And it's called Baby Yoda.
From from the end of the first episode, too, you got nothing. We're not going to talk about The Mandalorian. I'm putting my foot down. It's, you guys, right. You're starting the conversation talking about Star Wars coming out. This is like the fifth episode.
I was just apologizing.
I'm not having it.
No, Zach hates Star Wars. You heard it here first.
That's official.
And Disney minus.
In Star Wars, there's a lot of secrets, and we know that fans who listen to this podcast, we like to dole out your fan secrets that you write in when you write a 5-star review on our iTunes podcast store. So we have a special little secret from, can I get a fake name from one of you?
Wilbur.
Lil Greeny.
The Mandalorian.
Wilbur Baggins is my favorite.
We're not going to talk about Star Wars, but this is the Mandalorian writing in.
Wilbur the Mandalorian Baggins.
Yeah, Wilbur the Mandalorian Baggins.
I'll pass this to Eugene. Actually, wait. I was in a restaurant when we were in Seattle at the end of our tour, and I never told this on the podcast.
On the podcast. What was going on?
I put some giardiniera on my podcast.
I was in a restaurant, and there was like one of those like slit dividers between us and the table over, so you could like see through it. And someone just came over to the slit. It was almost like a confessional, and she went, "Psst, I don't have a secret to tell you in real life, but I just wanted to say I like the podcast," which was almost like, if you see us, just tell us a secret in real life. That's what we want.
And now you
hear.
Know what it's like to be Catholic.
Yeah, it was thrilling.
Cool. Wow.
So this is from Wilbur the Mandalorian Baggins.
So I'm hoping that y'all read this review and read it on the podcast.
And
my name
is sober.
This isn't drunk emails.
Sometimes we read your drunk email.
This is the secret.
This is a sober secret.
Sober secret.
Sober secret.
Soberly.
My name is insert name given by one of y'all.
Wilbur the Mandalorian Baggins.
Mm-hmm. Wilbur the Mandalorian Baggins, and I am a music teacher in California. I literally listen and re-listen to the tripod every single morning when I drive to work and then when I go home. So, like, thank you for keeping me sane. As a music teacher, I spend the entire day listening to students and opening up my room during recess and lunch for them. This podcast just really helps my brain chill out for a minute. Sometimes I pretend to sit in the parking lot if I get to work early and put on my best serious teacher face and pretend that I'm listening to something really serious. Oh yeah, here's my secret. I once ripped a juicy, juicy toot in my room and another adult came in and smelled it, so I blamed a student.
Oh, yeah. An easy and right thing to do.
Yeah,
that's right.
I like it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, shout out and props to music teachers everywhere. Some of my favorite types of teachers. Well, I like all teachers, but music teachers have a special place in my heart.
I'll have to say, too, if you can fill up a band room with one fart, that's crazy.
Yeah.
They're normally some of the biggest rooms in the school.
Powerful toot.
They're very big rooms because they fit 100 kids at a time and a bunch of instruments.
That's true.
Yeah, and they're used to getting a lot of air blown around.
That's what I'm saying.
A lot of brass instruments have the
Can
right
we insert a tuba sound effect after that joke that Zach just made? I feel like a little tuba would really accent that joke.
I can repeat the joke.
Let's try it again. Let's see if it's better.
What was the thing I said? I said there's a lot of there's a lot of air blowing around.
Pretty good.
I thought you were gonna make it, Ned.
He did.
We don't have a post-production budget.
Yeah, I mean, I can't.
Yeah, do it on the spot.
Miles takes a whole day to edit down an hour to 55 minutes.
He can download a sound effect.
Look, here's the deal. We don't have a soundboard yet, but maybe in the new studio, I can have a fun little soundboard.
Ooh, that's right. We could install a soundboard. Yeah. So we're building out a new office, a new studio. It's exciting news. But one of the rooms is going to be dedicated to the podcast.
Are you telling me we're not going to film in this confusing back room anymore? I love this room.
Well, we'll still film here for several months. Perhaps a long time. Depends on how construction projects go, which notoriously run on time and under budget.
Mm-hmm.
That's a home renovation joke for you. I'll be here all night. Thanks for that tuba accent.
Daddy.
Yo, when's the have you guys ever farted and blamed another Try Guy?
Oh, have I ever farted and blamed one of you?
Yeah. Have we ever been in that situation?
No, but I have definitely farted in an empty room and then somebody walked
in. And then we call each other out.
Oh, no.
Oh, there's
a
level.
When you watch someone walk right through the path, you're like, uh-oh.
I think once you are at a sibling type relationship level with a friend, then you kind of do the opposite. You want to own your fart. In fact, you want to just rub it in their face.
Literally. I don't. I don't know about that. I normally just say, oh, guys, I'm sorry.
Well, we had a thing on tour where we tried. Oh, this is going to get gross. We're going to be doing gross fart talk now.
Right. I mean, Wilbur Mandalorian Baggins.
Star Wars or fart farts.
Welcome to gross fart talk with the Tribe.
Were we in New Zealand when Eugene was in a bathroom? It was just the two of us. And he came up to me. He's like, hey, man, before we go out there, I just wanted you to know. And he wound up his arms like this. And then, clamped down and and then walked out.
like you're flexing.
It was like a Superman like a flex.
Man. Yeah.
With a big old fart let out, and we laughed and
pretty,
laughed.
Pretty glorious.
Superman farted every time he flexed.
So our holiday party was just this last Friday.
I'm sorry, Miles. Are you not interested in that conversation?
No, let's keep going on farts.
It's a setup to the big, hilarious holiday fart.
it was so funny.
Yeah, we had our company holiday party, and it was nuts.
It was very fun.
It got lit.
I don't know if you guys saw on our Instagram stories, but all of our staff surprised everybody at the party with a choreographed Mean Girls dance. Oh my God.
It was amazing.
The best.
We'll put that on our socials. Put it on Instagram, IGTV for sure.
Oh yeah.
It was very, very cute. I was very, I don't know. It's like a very special, sweet moment. It was like, oh, how nice. This is so cool. And it was, you know, we've been doing this for almost 2 years, and to have a little, you know, staff that puts something special together, puts a nice little performance together.
Right. That like a community has built up around our office in a way that is now like bigger. Like we didn't know that was coming.
I feel kind of the pride I imagine that parents feel in a different way, where I'm like, wow, my little babies are growing up and they have a life of their own and they're doing all this shit without me. It, like, yes, of course they are all full grown human adults and of course they have lives of their own, but to see them interact together and create something was really
create something for the people.
It was touching.
Also, we found out that like they were very upset that we were working until the end of the day on Friday. Because they wanted to rehearse.
Oh, yes.
And they were
last week was filled with lots of lies and surprises that you'll all find out about later in this release schedule. But last week was there were so many secret plots happening. And one of them was that the office was trying to find time to rehearse. So when we went and were on the Matt Pat live stream last week, that was their main rehearsal. Mm. And that's why YB was here. And she said she had a meeting with Rachel. And YB's just sitting on the couch, which YB's never sitting on the couch. She's been working from home because we've had all these videos coming out. And I go, oh, hey, YB, what's going on? She's like, oh, not much. I'm like, what are you doing here? She's like, oh, I have a meeting with Rachel. I'm like, oh, cool. What about?
Yeah.
And I was just
I be involved?
I was just unintentionally grilling YB because I was just like so excited to see her because not everybody's in the office because we have so many videos we're working on right now.
Mm-hmm. Sam and Kaylin led the choreography teaching.
Yeah, that's correct.
I was so good.
I was watching the performance and I was like, everyone's following Sam and Kaylin. Yes. Sam is very into it.
Yeah. Sam was having a great time.
I saw everyone put on holiday hats, Santa hats, and I was like, are we about to get mean girled? And I said it as a joke. And then it happened.
Well, Becky came over and she said, Keith, you need to sit down. I'm like, why? Just sit right here. Why? And then no one would tell me why. And she knew. But
she got you first.
But she made me just sit down. I was just sitting for 10 minutes while nothing happened. And she also, she like sat me down and then turned away from me and talked to Maggie. And I'm like, why am I sitting down? I started getting very frustrated. Like, why? I was having a great conversation over there. And then I also thought someone was going to get proposed to. And then I thought, who the fuck would want to propose now?
Yeah,
at the Try Guys holiday party. Like, this is not a romantic experience. But I was sure. I was like,
dimly lit back bar.
I was like, oh God, Miles is going to propose. I'm like, oh no, maybe Elliot's going to propose. Oh God, who could it be? And I started looking at all the couples and trying to figure out who was being the most nervous.
That's so funny.
And it was not a proposal.
No.
I'm also pretty sure Elliot's already engaged.
Yeah, he got engaged.
I thought so too, yeah. And I was like, that's what I was like, I thought he was like, wait, no. But it was so cute.
Your girlfriend was very upset that I did not remember her name on the podcast.
Okay, yeah. Well,
oh, did that come up? No!
Eugene brought it up.
I
tore into me about it. I'm like,
front of her.
I have met you twice.
First of all, no, you have not.
I've not met her more than four times.
But I thought it was funny that Eugene brought it up with Ned standing there. Like, Ned doesn't know your name.
I hung out with your girlfriend a bunch, and I'm like, I am going to make no indication that I've ever forgotten your name. So she hasn't listened yet.
Be nice.
No, she doesn't listen.
Does she know we all forgot her name, or was so it just really, Ned?
No, I remembered it.
It's but it took you.
She knows that Keith knows.
Wait, so if Eugene hadn't said anything in the moment at the party, I would have gotten away scot-free?
Yeah, well, maybe.
And your girlfriend's name is Rochelle, right?
Yeah, her name is Joaquin Phoenix.
I just thought it was just a natural question, like, oh, Miles basically created the tripod. You ever get to listen to it? You know, we talked about you during one. Right. Like, you know.
She listens sometimes.
I tell you, it's really great. Just fire it up in your car. Anytime you turn your car on, you turn the tripod on. That's how cars work these days.
Is this an ad for the tripod?
Yeah, man.
We should name all of our tripod episodes with A's, like a bunch of A's. That way when you start your car, it's the first song that plays.
Oh, yeah.
A001. A001.
A buddy of ours, Samir, made something. I forget what it's called, but it's like a blank song. And it's A, and it's 10 minutes of nothingness so that you don't have your favorite song ruined for you when you get in the car.
That's smart.
Mm-hmm. There used to be A-Punk by Vampire Weekend for me, which is a song that I love, but it played every goddamn time I turned my car on, and I started to hate it. And then Maggie's car played Burn Up by the Jonas Brothers, and every time I got in the car, I would get stoked, and then she would get pissed, and I'm like, no, you better leave that song on. Oh, also, I got sent Jonas Brother beer this week. That's a
That was
segue.
Cool.
Were you here for that, Eugene?
Yes.
I got Coors. Well, I'm not going to give him the free advertisement. Fuck it. Coors.
I love Coors Light. I'll give it to him.
The taste of the Rockies.
Well, somebody at Coors clearly listens because they sent you this beer.
It's instead of the mountains, it's just the Jonas Brothers faces.
I bet our faces would look real good on those mountains.
Yeah, I bet if Coors Light wanted to put our faces on some bottles and send them our way... That wouldn't be unappreciated. I bet you'd get an Instagram story from
at
me
least.
Tagging you. I'll also take Coors Banquet.
I did like Coors Banquet.
Which I prefer.
And all access trip to
the Jonas
two
Brothers.
People to the Jonas Brothers concert in Denver, Colorado.
Well, speaking of your songs that you love, we always end our parties with karaoke.
Yeah,
that's true.
And it's interesting. I don't know what your history with karaoke. So Korean people and Asian people, like Filipinos and Koreans especially, and Japanese people actually, are obsessed with karaoke. Yeah. So in my house growing up, I had two karaoke machines. In my stepfather's house, he has seven karaoke machines.
Wow.
And you can play the music from every floor while you're so performing in the basement. He has a disco ball that comes down. This is like huge cultural thing for Asians. We just love karaoke.
No. White people discovered karaoke about 4 years ago.
Well, it's also called karaoke, which is a Japanese word.
Every time I say it like that, you get very.
I probably said
it
incorrectly.
I don't say it like that ever.
You've told me, Eugene, that your stepfather's karaoke would play into your bedroom.
He put speakers in every room so you could hear what music he would play from either his computer, his phone, or the karaoke machine. So it was mainly Celine Dion, which is why I love Celine Dion so much.
You'd be like trying to fall asleep during his parties.
Yeah, and he'd blast it so we couldn't fall asleep. He also wanted us to party with him. My stepdad's crazy. But I'm curious.
Fun.
Well, what I'm curious about, and you had this experience recently with Maggie's birthday, I just assume everyone is organically designed to love and appreciate karaoke. That everyone, like even nervous Asian people, go up and sing songs. Mm-hmm. But then I started seeing things with non-Asians who like are not into singing in public. And it's like a minority of people who like karaoke. I don't think
that's what I've been trying to tell you guys this whole time.
I love karaoke.
like we like karaoke.
I'm a performative guy that likes getting on stage, and I don't even always want to sing in public. Like, there are many, many people who are absolutely mortified at the thought of singing in public with very minimal accompaniment. And the fact that the words are on the screen doesn't help that much.
Yeah, I wasn't aware of that.
Holiday party, you probably don't want to sing in public with all of your coworkers. Now, if you have enough soju, anything can happen.
Right.
That's what
and
helps
we
us.
Did.
Yes.
What other like what other activity, like, for a holiday party even makes sense? Like, you could go bowling.
Slip and slide.
You could slip and slide, yeah, I guess.
Ice skating.
But I think that the why karaoke is so good is it's basically a bar.
Yeah.
With one, with a light added performance. And you don't have to sing, when, especially when there's like 40 people in that bar. Like, you can get away with not singing. But it's so funny. And also, nobody knows the bridge to any song, which is my favorite.
Yeah.
You're encouraging people to get very drunk and just let their inhibitions go.
Right.
Like when you're saying, hey, jump up on stage and sing, you're saying, hey, just go nuts.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I just have found now that a lot of people don't, like, won't do it. They just won't do it at all. Even if they're drunk, they won't do it. But I guess now it's like not everyone is into, like, public performance, which makes total sense. But it was just interesting for me growing up because, like, people who are shy and don't, are not performers, still did karaoke, like, in the family.
Some people don't even like talking to other people at parties. What makes you think that everyone's going to want to not only talk but sing, not only talk to one person but sing to everyone?
Well, I mean, it's interesting because Asian people notoriously are like, we are more rigid when it comes to social things. Like, we don't just talk to random people. Like, culturally, it's we're more reserved. But karaoke, everyone just does it. So it's interesting. There's a disconnect there. It's like the opposite of Western culture. You guys are, we'll talk to anyone, but then not go up on stage.
I would talk to everyone.
Yeah. That's why when you see all the videos of people drunk in, like, Japan doing karaoke, it's all like businessmen and stuff. Like, they just do it.
I wanted to tell you guys a story about my dream last night because of a very specific moment that made me, I woke up and I was like, why did I subliminally think of this? I was at a show in a casino, and Lou Berger was setting up for the show. However, everyone was late except for me. And we also had like a 10-piece band that was playing. And they were all waiting on Huey to show up because Huey normally runs our tech. Finally, he shows up at the time we're supposed to go on. So we start doing tech right there. And I just said to Huey, you really fucked up, man. And he goes, I fucked up. He's like, it was that fucking monkey puppet. I'm like, what are you talking about? He's like, I get that puppeteer. I just got stuck in the show. That, like, purple monkey puppet. It, like, drove me. I couldn't get out of the show. And I'm like, what? Are you talking about Jeff Dunham?
What?
The ventriloquist who has a purple monkey puppet. And in my dream, Huey Stonefish was in Vegas, went to see Jeff Dunham's, like, awful ventriloquism show, and couldn't leave. And my brain last night in my dream decided that was a storyline it wanted to write for me to, like, experience. And
I haven't thought about Jeff Dunham in so long, and I'm upset that you've brought that thought back into my mind.
That's why I was like, there's no reason for me to have thought of this man.
He was a sensation.
He was.
Know who it is.
Jeff Dunham was the comedy, the stand-up puppeteer.
I just said I didn't know who it was.
He used to be at Comedy Central all the time.
Oh, let me stop you. I don't give a shit. You know, there's like a new Jeff Dunham. They advertise him at the Burbank Airport, and it's another guy who does puppet comedy that is clearly racist.
Oh, no.
It's like,
oh, no.
It's just following in the footsteps of, I'm going to do racist caricatures, but it's with puppets, so we're going to laugh about it. Mm.
It's weird. It's weird how, like, puppet culture.
Yes, I'm very ready.
There's a disparate gap in our perception of high versus low end puppetry, because the Muppets and Jim Henson and Sesame Street are like top tier gold star level media and entertainment. And then there's, like, nothing in between. And then there's people, I guess, sitting in a comedy bar with their hand up a butt of something making racist jokes. I don't know. It's just, it's hard for me to bring those two together. But it's one of the mediums that I just feel like I'm sitting here, like, adoring.
Right. On the one hand, you have Dark Crystal.
And then on the other hand, I'm like, oh, I don't want to go to that show with that guy.
The difference is ventriloquism versus pure puppetry. Pure puppetry is about the puppet's face character. Ventriloquism is about the ventriloquist.
But I get
like, South Park.
Oh, so this Jeff Dunham guy's a ventriloquist.
You know, Avenue Q. Oh,
okay. But he uses a puppet.
Right.
Yeah. But also, I wouldn't go to someone's puppet show.
Are you guys not going to come to my holiday puppet show?
Yeah.
I'm sorry?
I would absolutely come to your holiday puppet show.
Yeah.
Zach's Hanukkah puppet show.
I'd rather go to a puppet show.
I'd be upset that I wasn't involved.
Yeah.
Yeah, I bet you would. Should we make a Try Guys Try Puppeting parentheses not racist puppets?
That would be cool.
Yeah. I saw that Tyler Oakley, I think, just like had a puppet of himself made, and like we should have a Try Guys puppet set and do an entire video as puppets.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Yes. Whoa, that's right? The dream. That's great.
I think you guys should do like a claymation holiday special. Like,
wow.
Try Guys fast food taste test.
Don't put that out in the world. We can't get that done in the next week and a half.
That's a great tough.
Save it for next. Tell me in January and I'll be like, that's a great idea. We'll get started on it.
Well, we really enjoyed doing Play With Dolls where we got to improvise on the fly scenes with these characters. So might as well, like, we should just have puppets at the ready, at on hand.
And then if one of us is out of
That's good.
On
hand.
This has been the tripod.
If one of us are out of office that day, we just throw in a puppet. No one would know.
We're out.
That actually is a great idea.
Oh, or even just to say like, and I'm going to be sitting this one out.
I'm not going to be here next week for the podcast, I don't think. So could you get a puppet replacement for me by then?
And it's someone that looks kind of like you and is doing your voice, but is not you. Like the puppeteer, I mean.
Right, yeah.
We're nominated for Show of the Year again at the Streamies this year, which is awesome. And I believe it's the day after you're listening to this, but Keith and Eugene will not be present. They both are unable to come to the award show. So I've been thinking about either replacing you with puppets or having stand-ins with paper masks.
Mm. Ooh, I like that.
Ideas are great.
If we could get a puppet in time, because I want to walk the red carpet with different versions of you.
Mm-hmm. What's Grant from College Humor up
to? Yeah, we should just get your doppelgangers.
Yeah.
And we'll get Lucy Liu.
Ooh. Oh, I love Lucy Liu.
My dream was a little different last night.
Yeah, you had a good one?
I dreamt, so Wes woke up at 4 a.m. and then he wouldn't really go back to sleep. I think it's because I fed him some boba tea. Which is probably not good for babies.
It's caffeinated.
Learn my lesson.
Yeah.
But then when I fell back asleep, I had this like dystopian wasteland dream. It was like I was in Waterworld because everyone was competing for water and fuel. And like I was on this wagon, like shooting at people and like fending people off. But everyone was like competing for resources because it was the end of the world. And there were these just shadowy figures that didn't really have faces that were trying to steal everything.
Oh.
Like Mad Max versus like Dementors, kind of?
Yeah, it was like Mad Max with Dementors.
Wow.
Cool. Sounds good, actually.
Yeah. It was exciting. It was a real back and forth there for a little while.
Is this dream?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah.
I guess I never talked to you guys about this, but I think like 95% of my dreams are nightmares.
Oh, that's like my brother Brian.
Horrible nightmares.
Yeah.
Horrible
nightmares. But I'm just used to them now. But yeah. I'm just like, I have to rack my brain to think of like a good dream I've ever had.
Well, give us a normal dream for you.
I mean, last week I had this weird dream where I was in a factory where I was being forced to sew these like weird, like these like stretchy fabrics together by this... almost weird. Okay, another Harry Potter reference, but like this Umbridge-esque like dictator in this factory, and then it dawned on me slowly that it was human skins.
Oh my god!
But all the human skins were of people of color, so there was this like really weird thing, and then some of it were my family's because I would like come across my sister's face.
Oh my god!
But yeah, but I mean, I just kind of woke up and I was like, oh,
that's an intense. There's a lot
of
dream.
There's a lot of stuff there to unpack. But I've just gotten really used to just having nightmares. But so I'm not like scared anymore afterwards. I'm just like, oh, okay, that was a strange one. Like that one was really weird.
You should keep a dream journal because that's like some intense, dope shit.
Well, my main one growing up was my teeth falling out. Like every other night I would dream by the end that my teeth would fall out. And occasionally that my dick would fall off.
Wow. That's funnier. Yeah.
But a lot of people, someone told me once that all that represents like great change in your life.
Well, teeth falling out, I think, is your where you're going to die.
Well, it's one of them. I just Googled it because I know it's one of the most commonly occurring dreams. And I've heard that teeth are like, it's like an exposed bone basically in your mind. And that's part of like the fear of vulnerability is like you can see your inner skeletal self.
Literally never happened to me. But like shadowy figures chasing me all the time.
That's yours. Teeth, they say, often could indicate dealing with some kind of loss or abrupt change or end in your life. fucking who knows. Shadowy figure. I don't know if I have.
What does it say voice. About somewhat racist ventriloquist?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, look at that.
This podcast called Try Guys Google the First Result of Dream Definitions.
There you go.
And go no further.
I had a dream about a racist ventriloquist.
Wow, the first article is how Jeff Dunham's offensive puppets became the voice of Trump's America. We're gonna move on from
that's
that.
That's what it's about. Impeachment hearings.
Well, maybe.
Oh, maybe.
It's about all the discord in the nation right now.
And now Ned knows who Jeff Dunham is.
If we're moving on from dreams, which it seems like we are, I've got a bone to pick. Keith's been picking bones the last 2 weeks.
I have beef. You have bones to pick?
Oh, that's what
I have beef. And that's my thing. But you can have Zach's bone picking moment.
This is Zach's boner of the week.
There you go. There it is.
I got a pretty hard on bone to pick with Forbes.
God, Zach.
Every year, Forbes lets out the 30 under 30 list. I'm a 29-year-old man-child boy. Beautiful boy. And I'm going to tell you what, this might sound like a brag, and maybe it is. I have three friends on that list. I know three people in my life, in my orbit, who made the 30 under 30 list. Am I happy for them? Of course. Am I proud of them? You betcha.
Sure.
Sure. But am I a little confused and miffed? You betcha. Because I know what they're up to, and I know what I'm up to, and I think I'm doing pretty damn good.
I will say you're a number one New York Times bestselling author.
Thank you.
You're an international touring sensation.
Thank you.
You have over almost 7 million subscribers on your YouTube channel.
Independently.
You own a company.
Damn right.
You have a beautiful TikTok presence.
You hear that, Forbes?
I did. I texted Zach the night I came out.
Oh, this was great.
And totally out of the blue, I just said, "You're my 30 under 30." Hey. Just because I was also like, "Why is Zach not on this list?" I missed the boat. I had my success just too late to be under 30 and be like.
Let's
super
be
good.
Clear. I am way more successful at 29 than you guys were.
Absolutely, and like I was mad for you because if you got it, it's
you
kind of
done
a,
it. Yeah,
it's like a victory
like,
for us.
We could live through you. Like we're 32. 2-year-old man, we've had to
you're
make
old
peace.
You're done.
We had to make peace with the fact that you know what, maybe this year isn't my year. Maybe this year isn't my year, and we do that 10 times. Well, really 22. I wasn't expecting much, but
no, I was not. I did not deserve it till maybe 29, but even then.
I hear you just gotta know a Forbes editor or something.
Well, anyway, shout out to Ross, Liz, and Caroline. Very proud of your accomplishments. you're great friends. I value you and your congrats.
I think it's cool. I mean, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of people who are crushing it under 30 years old. And,
I know. I read that list every year and I'm like, this is crazy.
I mean, I don't know. It is
expanding the number of people. It's not just 30 people anymore. Yeah. It's like 30 people
in tech,
specialized automotive technology for trucks.
That's what I'm saying. There probably was 30 under 30 in new media. You're telling me I couldn't crack that nut?
I know.
And that's why I got a boner over here.
Yeah, you got a bone to pick.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Yeah. It's funny because like I am one of the people nominated for 30 under 30 for new media. So it's weird that you're not nominated.
Miles, shut the fuck up.
Yeah. No, Miles Nation.
Miles,
it's for
shut
the
fuck up. Miles, shut the fuck up. There was a moment where I'm like, oh my God, what is that?
I was like, whoa.
I thought, first of all, before you said that, I was going to say, Miles, you're our only hope now. We're going to put all the eggs in your basket. But after that joke, you can go to hell, Miles.
Boom. Bring in the tuba.
What is Miles? 25,
well,
6?
Well, you guys joked that I was 22 on the podcast, and all these people were like, I can't believe you're 22. It's like, I've been working here for like almost 2 years. When would I have gotten that job? I'm 26.
It's a joke. He's 17.
I'm 17 and a half.
Yeah. 26. So you got 3 more years.
Yeah.
I bet. Can we? Eugene's looking at that list right now, trying to confirm that all of them are more impressive than me. I bet you there's one of them that I'm more successful
Here's
than.
The thing. We have 3 years left to get Miles on that list.
Yeah,
and if
there,
we can
maybe.
Get Miles on the list,
now.
That means we're on the list.
Yeah, absolutely.
So what sort of crazy honors should we just start making up and giving to Miles so that he has just a crazy list of accomplishments?
Director of new projects.
Yes.
Hey, wow. Yeah, give me the title bump, baby.
At second try, Miles has been the director of new projects such as new things.
What about you just make me president? President? Because you guys are the CEOs.
Just in charge of all revenue?
Yeah, make me okay.
President.
All right, Miles.
Ned no longer likes this joke. I
think Vice President.
We
Vice
can
President.
Still get the cover of Vanity Fair. You there can you do that go. At any age.
Yeah, there are other accolades you can rack up.
It's tough because there's, like, we don't really fit in a good category, right? They have, like, actors. All right, that's not us, right? There's, there you got, like.
You have to be media.
Right, there's YouTubers, but then. I mean, really, like, there's,
yeah,
like,
I think the issue is that you would have had to have someone push you forward as media as opposed to Hollywood and entertainment.
Yeah.
Because all of our contemporaries are under Hollywood entertainment.
And
like
media
Liza Koshy.
Is so much usually like
digital
a journalist
people.
Or I'm like a yeah. founder of this app. That
or their first like byline is producer of something.
Also, let me be clear, despite my faux outrage, it's very clear that my success is buttressed by some over 30 people, and that just clearly disqualifies me. I'm using the aid of those who are old and, and withered, and I'm yeah. sucking their life force to
yeah.
make my
like
under
little,
30
like a little
career.
Dementor.
Yeah. Oh, maybe that's your dream. Maybe. I'm the Jeff Dunham.
Exactly.
Well, anyway, my life's over. I'm about to turn 30, and I'll never make the list.
You won't be 30 until next later on.
I forgot.
Year, yeah.
I told Maggie, and I'm like, well, I got one more year. And she's like, what are you talking about? I'm like, well, I'm 28. Oh, I'm 29. No.
It's hard to remember how old you are sometimes.
Is that must be common, right? I forget my age constantly.
No, not once you turn 30.
You know?
I don't know.
I'm like counting. I'm just making sure. I'm like, what 30 am I right now? Because
32.
You're getting closer to 40.
Mm. I'm excited for 33. Because I didn't think it was an important birthday until Eugene had his 33rd, and it was super dope. And I'm like, you know what? It is, because there's two threes in a row. So that's cool. So that means it is good. So I don't know what I'm going to do yet for my 33rd. But I also feel like I lost my 32nd because the book came out, and it was just like, it wasn't. And it was an amazing gift, right? To have published a book on your birthday. That's actually pretty dope. But I didn't get the party that was all about me that I felt like I needed.
You love to party.
I do love to party.
You're a party boy.
I'm a little party boy. And what'd you find out, Ned?
I was trying to look at every single person's profile and find something to criticize.
And you're like, oh, they're all pretty impressive.
And then they were all pretty remarkable.
There's some very remarkable people
and
on that list.
And then the people
yeah.
I wanted to criticize, I felt bad about.
Yeah.
But there were some people that I thought you were far more remarkable
You think
than.
Jeff Dunham was on it? I'm just going to see. Like, the only... Okay, so Jeff Dunham is on a Forbes list.
No.
But it's the 2012 Celebrity 100 Earnings Forbes list.
Oh.
He was number 90 for making $22 million in 2012.
That's number 90?
And my favorite thing is just one of his bio. He developed a knack for ventriloquism at age 8 when his parents gave him his first dummy. Today, he builds his own dummies, including the popular Ahmed the Dead Terrorist, who has garnered some 150 million views on YouTube.
Ugh.
He developed his puppetry at age 8 and developed his racism at age 10.
I mean, I'm sure that his parents helped.
Well, make the puppets?
No.
Here's the jump about it here. Zach, I think you're remarkable.
Thanks,
and
man.
I just hope that, you know, it doesn't have to be capped off under 30. You're going to show the world.
I'll be 31 over 30.
I'm going to make my own 30 under 30 list.
Do it,
and
Keith.
It's going to be Keith's people who are dope under 30. And sometimes it's going to be people who are over 30.
Unfortunately, it will not publish till next year, and I will have missed the cutoff.
Yeah. Yes. No. I can have it come out in the summer right before your birthday.
July 25th, it'll published.
Just be Zach 30 times. That dream probably came from the fact that I am going back on tour. So I'll be on tour in Chicago on this coming Tuesday, and then St. Louis on the next Thursday, and then Phoenix on the next Saturday. So you can catch me if you're in one of those areas. That's probably why I'm dreaming about being late for performances, is I have like three more this year.
Keith can't stop, won't stop.
Yeah. Don't miss your flight.
And I also got to talk about it on the podcast, because that's how like half of the audience of my last shows knew about it. So they were
that's
like,
awesome.
And they also said, I know that we're going to do this favorite moments thing in the next couple of weeks, but their favorite mm-hmm. moment was the giant fighting bugs episode.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah.
That was so random.
Oh,
I loved
yeah,
that one.
That was good.
But it's
yeah.
very funny for someone to be like, I loved it when you talked about big bugs. I'm like, what are you talking about? Like the fighting bugs? I'm like, oh, yeah.
Do you guys want to plug anything else for yourself?
Well, yeah, we may not have gotten 30 for 30 with under Forbes or whatever, but there is still a chance to go 2 for 2 at Try Guys Show of the Year. Make sure to tweet.
You have one day.
Yeah, one day. So do it today.
And probably the voting cuts
Try
off.
Try Guys
at like
for soon. Streamies?
No, it's hashtag vote try guys at streamies.
Oh, hashtag vote try guys at streamies.
Or just retweet one of us.
Yeah.
Well, you know, we won last year, so I don't think we're pointing that hard because we feel like other people should also win. So we aren't like,
yeah,
pushing.
I'm fine with one.
You know, everybody
the
deserves.
Support is very well. Very
I
much
want
appreciated.
A three-peat. You guys keep saying that. I'll put it out there into the universe.
Wait, I
want to be the most hated villain. I want to be the Patriots of digital award shows.
The three of us were talking, and I was like, we probably shouldn't go like too hard in the paint this year because like that's kind of like people are going to think we're dicks, right? And Ned's like, hell nah, we going to win this again. Nah. And then as soon as he walked away, Eugene and I were like, yeah, we're not. I mean, we should try that.
I mean, we should
we should give it a good fight. And also, it's really not up to us. It's up to our fans. It's more for them than for us.
And our show is really good.
It's pretty good.
I mean, I winning show of the year is odd because we have many shows on the channel and right. And like and a lot of those people also who were up for that, like even like Rhett and Link who've been up for it, like they do have a clear show and that like, oh okay, well there's one show that they make, but we have like six shows.
Yeah, but if we're up for a creator of the year, then we have to go up against Dobrik and we don't want
no
that.
We don't want that.
No, we don't want that.
We don't want that.
See he's not mad about always winning.
That's true.
Do we hate him? No, we respect him.
Okay, who's one person we should beat this year?
Whoa.
I'm just kidding.
Wow.
Well, we might win Ensemble, and by now we would know because they moved Ensemble to the off-televised awards show, which means we might finally win it.
Now that it's that's not good. Important.
Now that it's not as important as all the other main categories, they might give it to us. They might still not. I think that Mr. Beast should probably win Ensemble because their show is all Ensemble-based as well.
This year. Yeah.
And what's the category you guys always wanted to be nominated for?
Editing. Did that peak?
Probably.
Oh, yeah.
Well, we do. Our editing, I think our editors are amazing. Our shows have different edit styles between the shows. Right. I just do not understand. And no respect to Emma Chamberlain. I think she's
funny.
Wait,
you said no respect? No disrespect.
No respect. No, I just don't understand. Like choppy,
she won last year.
She won, and editing is funny, but it's not as complex as weaving together a ton of footage for like without a recipe. And
to give people some context, like we are 99% positive. A lot of our peers who we think are great probably do a very minimal amount of notes personally for editing, and also work with great editors. But with us, we have a tendency to go through a billion rounds of notes with really fantastic craftspeople in this area.
Get recognized for wasting all that time making a project marginally better. Because it is marginally better. We hope everyone listening appreciates it.
So,
it's an unsung art, exactly.
You know what? Here's what I'm kind of gathering is that there's some injustices in the world. We weren't nominated for editing. We haven't won Ensemble. And I'm not 30 under 30, so we're going to win Show of the Year again this
year. That's right.
Three people.
You
know
what?
Come on.
We're going to win the one that we can help engineer to win.
Well, or give a vote to Tiny Meat Gang. I don't care.
Speaking of 30 under 30 and the future 2021 winner, Miles Bonsignore, he'll probably win for giving the best advice that can go for Miles with
Miles Bonsignore.
Howdy, y'all.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Oh.
Welcome to my hometown, Milesopolis.
Oh, wow.
Okay. The most Western sounding.
Why is it a metropolis?
It's a big city, but you're a small town boy.
Do y'all want to light your house on fire?
No.
And breathe it in to your little sinus?
This one's getting me hard.
Smell the smells of baked beans.
I do like baked beans.
And enjoy the flame of heat so hot it'll burn your little tush.
Don't lose the accent. Stay committed.
What are you talking about yet?
Get candles.
Wait, that's the advice?
Get candles. Go to Target and get candles. Candles smell good. They provide light and brightness, and they smell nice. You should have a candle in the bathroom. You should have a candle in the bedroom. You should have a candle in the dining room. Damn it, if you got enough candles, it's going to smell real nice.
It's my favorite one you've done.
This one's good.
Let me also take a moment to say we were not nominated for Podcast of the Year, and right now I can't imagine how that's possible.
Especially after
this
that.
This character is my favorite one, and I fully think you should just make a like hyper short form YouTube series called Advice That'll Go for Miles, where you just do this type of character and just direct to camera, 60-second long videos, you know,
partner,
advice.
What flavor do candles come in?
Orange. I actually get black bamboo and brown sugar chestnut and vanilla birch and coastal driftwood.
Becky just buys expensive candles.
I do believe you need to spend more than 10 pesos on a candle.
Wait,
how do you,
a lot more than 10
how
pesos.
Do you make sure you don't burn your house down?
Well...
It's part of the thrill.
That's part of the fun.
Okay.
Sometimes I'll leave a candle burning, and right before I go to bed, I go, oh. You got to go put it out.
Yep, I get that.
That was always a conflict for us during Hanukkah, is you don't want to blow the candles out, but you also don't want to burn your house down. So what do you do?
Yeah, what do you do?
I think you blow them out. Or you put like a big tinfoil moat around it. And
Do you know that Christmas also has a... like 4 week long candle lighting ceremony thing.
You back off.
I'm just telling you, like,
back your Christian ass off.
Christmas also has like a big candle lighting
thing.
It's
like the entire month. Honestly, it's kind of a buildup. It's called Advent.
You know what?
You light it every Sunday leading up to Christmas.
Your religion does have a candle lighting ceremony because y'all got our testament too. So you best represent my holiday. Hanukkah's your shit too.
Yeah, we really don't talk about it that much. I did learn it.
I did it growing up.
Yeah, no, I learned.
You did,
every year.
Did you get eight gifts?
We'd light Advent candles.
Advent
a big deal.
Candles? What?
That's what they're called.
Yeah. What the fuck's Advent?
Advent is.
What the fuck is Advent?
It's just like Hanukkah, but it's not.
I know Advent calendars. Is Advent a holiday?
Yeah, Advent is the lead up to Christmas.
Yeah.
That's
got all
not
the little
thing.
Cute little doors
it's
where
a,
you find
it's not
cute
a
open
doors to eat chocolate. But it's like a time of year in the church calendar.
We should have a Try Guys Advent calendar. That would be so fun because you open little doors and there's like little stuff. There's either like candy or like things, but we can make it just sexy pictures of us.
No. This is bad.
Oh, this is good. Once again,
Advent calendars are becoming secular. It's
once
true.
Again,
really?
We have to do this secular? Next year.
Yes, I know it'll be next year. We already missed the first couple days.
And every time chocolate.
Every time you open up mine, I go, it's not Christmas yet.
Yeah.
Not Christmas. Actually, this is probably one of the last chances that you have to get some TryGuys.com swag before Christmas.
Yeah.
What do we got, Ned?
Well, we got these really cool Super Suit color block hoodies. They're black with four bright colors on the outside. If that doesn't fit your cup of tea, we got mugs for your cup of tea.
Hey. No,
those are older, but we have these brand new navy blue with tiny little dino prints.
It's
That's
cute.
My favorite.
Super fresh.
We got signed books. It's a perfect stocking stuffy. We got a lot of great stuff.
The hot sauce should be back this weekend.
Yeah, hot sauce sold out in like 24 hours.
Yeah, so
maybe you like t-shirts. Maybe you like socks. Anything.
There's
your
all
heart...
sorts of good stuff.
Yeah, tryguys.com.
Tryguys.com.
That feels like an episode.
I don't trust when people have a lot of candles.
You think I'm like a witch?
No, I like witches.
What about in the bedroom?
How many candles is too many candles?
I think more like, than like three expensive ones in a house is too much.
You gotta get
Hanukkah.
Some people put it like in every like those Yankee candles. People like put them
not
in every
Yankee,
room.
Not Yankee.
But there's a subsect of people who are like obsessed with candles. They put like a significant budget towards candles. It's like people who have like 20 decorative pillows.
Oh, yeah.
I don't trust it.
I don't like that.
They're putting their energies in
my
places.
Significant other.
People who buy lots of bath products.
Excuse you.
You're really? A little bit. It's a little bit.
You're like just widening.
Because there's I think
people who wear socks.
I think there's a.
I went from me imagining someone with 50 candles in their house to like basically everyone.
I don't know. I find it a bit gaudy. I think there's a certain level for comfort, like a bath, and then there's just exorbitant excess, which is like the bombs and the water.
Anyone with red shoes.
You don't like Lush?
No, you're basically just soaking yourself in weird chemical
glitter. I realize that most of Miles' advice is stuff that like 20-year-old girls learn, which is like have a loofah, take a bath, have candles. It's like very like...
Oh, yeah. It's wisdom.
Yeah, it's smart.
That's what I'm getting now.
Did you learn these from your girlfriend, Rebecca?
Excuse you. But yeah, no.
I got a laugh from Will in the background. I'm feeling good.
Yeah. No, yeah, candles are good. I get those big motherfuckers with the two wicks. And
oh, shit.
I get it from Target. And also, well, here's my main thing. It started as just a bathroom thing, because if you don't have like stuff for smell, like get rid of the fart
it's
smell.
It's good in a bathroom
smell,
for poo.
Every time I go to a bathroom and there's not that stuff, I'm like, this is like... I'm jumping out of a plane without a parachute here. And people are going to come in and know I pooped.
Yeah. Okay, I'm going to leave you guys with this. This is Keith's post-poop etiquette. How to make the room totally rid of your smell.
Yeah.
Now, before you poop, I want you to light the candle.
Yes.
Before you poop. Now, when you're done, you're going to blow out that candle. You're going to pick that candle up, and you're going to move it across the room so that the fresh air will keep the ember of the wick lit. That will get the maximum of the burned candle smell throughout the room, which is like the most intense poop-destroying smell. Mm-hmm. You let that waft around. You just like literally stir it in the air, and the circular air will keep the ember glowing for like 30 seconds.
Wow.
And then you put it down, and then you relight the candle.
Yeah.
Again. So you have filled the room with candle smell. You've then filled the room with smoke. And then you are filling the room after that again with candle smell. There's no way your poop is getting through that smell. You should also crack a window if you can. I would like open the window literally all the way up for the 30 seconds you wash your hands. That will actually do a ton. And then you just close it back to that little crack to look
also,
like you're being honest.
You gotta do the pre-flush.
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
If you are gonna sit there for a while, don't let your poop sit too.
They call it a courtesy flush for a reason.
Get your pre-flush in, get it out of there, and start the cleansing process that Keith just discussed.
And there's also the poopery thing. But if you don't have poopery, which is what you spray in the toilet before you poop, you can spray any of the air fresheners that you buy onto the toilet water. It will do the exact same thing.
Yes.
You can just do that with Febreze. Like, you don't have to have a specific... thing. It will all be oil-based and float on top of the water.
About that. And when you're done, soak a rag in vodka, light it on fire, dispose it in the corner, burn that whole motherfucker down.
Yeah, and just vomit right at the door frame.
Give a worse smell.
Keith, I'm sorry that I left a huge dump in the toilet. I was at Jeff Dunham's puppet show, and I just was really blocked up.
Guys, I had the craziest dream. Ned took a dump in my toilet.
Let's end there. This has been the Tripod. Keith, hit us with the official Tripod theme song.
Well, you gotta listen to a podcast now and then, and why not this one? The Tripod.
Until next time, stay beautiful.
And a round of applause for Zach making Keith's 30 under 30 list.
Yay!
I'm remarkable!